fitter, happier. A program about your health, for your health.
Tobacco legislation in WA has changed to introduce tougher laws surrounding public places, specifically around entrances to enclosed public places. There is, however, some good news on the tobacco issue, and we are joined on Fitter Happier today, first by Deshaun, Principal Policy Officer at the Department of Health, and Amy Hunter, Senior Policy Officer. We also have Maurice Swanson to discuss on a national level what's happening. Good morning to you both, Deshaun and Amy.
Good morning.
Welcome to Fitter Happier.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Let's talk about, Deshaun, first starting with you. I believe we've recently had some tobacco legislation amendments in WA. Can you talk us through what's changed, what's been happening?
Yeah, happy to. The new tobacco laws came into effect on the 18th of March this year, and they actually tighten up some provisions and increase restrictions around tobacco signage and display of tobacco products, as well as restrictions on smoking in certain areas.
So this will affect everything. So this isn't everywhere we go we'll see this happen.
Look, it's really mainly in the retail type of areas,
okay,
and also in the immediate entrances to public buildings. So what these changes actually increased restrictions on provisions that are already in place. We actually see incremental changes, but the good news is that these changes actually help to better protect children, and they actually bring WA up to date to have among the toughest laws in Australia.
Have you seen any pushback? Has there been much pushback from the public?
Look, we've had very strong support from the public. I think the public understands how important it is to protect children from the harm caused by tobacco, and I think there's a lot of awareness about the terrible toll that smoking causes. We actually know that two out of every three smokers will be affected likely suffer from a serious smoking caused disease or die much younger than they need to.
Amy, let's talk about the tougher laws have been brought in, and specifically entry exits in public spaces. I mean, Deshaun just told us it is going everywhere, but when we say public spaces, what are we talking about exactly?
Any building that the public can access, so shopping centres, shops, retail outlets, any building that's accessible to the public.
I've always wondered, can you smoke at the beach?
You can't smoke between the flags.
Really?
That's right.
Okay.
It's pretty difficult to patrol and to enforce entirely smoke-free beaches, but
uh-huh,
between the flags is an area that we feel that we can manage.
Yeah, that's cool. I never realised that. Those flags are very important.
They are.
So, Deshaun, can you tell us about the ban on tobacco the ban on tobacco sales at things like sporting events and even music events?
Yeah, we have been concerned for quite a while that these types of events appeal to the younger audiences, and these measures are actually aligned with other policies that look to reduce access to the sale of tobacco products and marketing of tobacco products. Tobacco products are very largely denormalised in our community and in our society nowadays, and these types of events were a natural progression for our legislation. I suppose the best example would be for music festivals, where a company can get a tobacco licence to sell products and then set up a chill-out tent where they have water available, other refreshments and possibly bean bags and things like that, where people can just go and lie down and have a bit of a break from the festival. Mm. What we don't want to see is tobacco products marketed at those events, which means that young people get exposed to those images and to that marketing, which really is not a desirable thing when a lot of these festivals actually are totally smoke-free nowadays.
Well, talking about marketing, Amy, there are some changes in relation to signage as well that's coming about.
Yeah, that's right. So the visibility and the prominence given to price boards and price tickets in tobacco retail outlets is inconsistent with the ban on the display of tobacco products, and we don't allow tobacco advertising. And so this type of signage essentially acts as a form of tobacco advertising. So if a retailer chooses to display a price board or a price ticket, they must also display a health warning sign. And these health warning signs contain images that you'll see on the cigarette packets, and they provide a really strong visual reminder, not just to smokers, but to everybody, especially children and recent quitters, of the terrible health effects of smoking.
Yeah, they certainly do. Some of them are really quite confronting.
They are.
I just wanted to ask also, is what happens if someone does something bad and goes against these new amendments? What are the penalties that they'd be looking at?
Look, there are a range of penalties. We have a lot of information about that on our website. But I think the important thing to remember is we're taking an educational approach for the first 6 months. So the laws became effective on the 18th of March. But until about September, our investigators will be out and about, and also local government, environmental health officers and some of their other inspectors will be out and about. And they, if they note things that might be a breach or an offence, they would probably in the first instance give the person a warning or just a advise them that there's been a change. We're taking a very educational approach.
Sure, I guess, you know, it's a huge message to get out to a huge audience of people. So that makes a lot of sense. Thank you so much for showing us what's happening on a state level. We're now going to shift our thinking onto a national level. We're joined by Maurice Swanson, CEO of the Australian Council on Smoking and Health. Welcome to the MAG.
Thank you.
I think I went to school with your daughter, Indy.
You did?
I did, yes. Now, let's get back on track. I believe the national survey has shown that WA has the least number of adult smokers. This is pretty good news.
Fantastic news, because if we look back to the 1980s, one in three people were regular smokers. But in the last couple of years, that's been reduced to one in ten. A fantastic public health success, because as Dishan mentioned a few moments ago, if people continue to smoke, their risk of dying from smoking is about two-thirds. So two-thirds of them will die prematurely if they continue to smoke. So in decreasing the prevalence of smoking, Australia has led the world with this great public health success.
That's so exciting. People often say, you know, Australia is kind of one of the last ones to get on board with things, but we're leading here.
Absolutely, and we have, to credit, a range of evidence-based strategies that have helped Australia get to this point, and there are very few countries in the world that have done as well as Australia.
Now, something that comes up increasingly a lot in a lot of conversations I've been having with people is the use of influencers. Now, let's talk about social media in particular. It's probably one of the biggest tools that people use for marketing purposes. Tell us a little bit more about how influencers are promoting tobacco products.
Well, basically, the tobacco industry, through its marketing consultants, pay influencers to either promote smoking directly, that is, take pictures of themselves smoking in trendy, desirable locations or at trendy, desirable events. So that's one way they attempt to renormalise smoking. And the other is they take pictures of themselves with tobacco products. So it could be standard cigarettes or cigarette brands, or it could be promoting these newer so-called harm-reduced products. So that's what they're investing a lot of money in. And, for example, Philip Morris was caught out the other day in its use of a young Russian model who had, I think, a following of nearly 100,000, which is small by comparison to some, but at least Philip Morris knew what sort of image she promotes, and they were happy to use her following to promote their products.
I guess, and I think in situations like that, it's almost sometimes done for the viewer subconsciously. You know, I'm not a smoker myself, but possibly if I was and I saw someone who I thought was pretty cool having a cigarette, that is a huge subconscious kind of thing.
Well, we've done, as we were discussing earlier, so much to change the culture around smoking, particularly in this country. But in Europe, there are many countries that have a higher rate of smoking than we do in Australia. And even though the messages are starting to bite there, the tobacco industry is keen to maintain those markets as long as possible, and a part of their marketing strategy is to renormalise smoking, to say that it's part of everyday life, that everybody's doing it. And we've got to remember that if young people don't take up smoking in large numbers, they've got a dying industry, because two-thirds of regular smokers are falling off the perch at the other end. So they've got to replace their dying smokers and those that are giving up with younger, new recruits. And that's why they're so determined to use social media platforms to promote smoking and tobacco products.
It's almost mind-baffling that people still want to smoke, knowing the effects that it has.
Yes, I agree with you there. But once people have become addicted to the nicotine, some find it very difficult to go without it. It's a highly addictive substance. And I have sympathy for people who are heavily addicted, because many of them have tried to quit on several occasions and not succeeded. But we do know that from surveys of smokers that the more quit attempts that they make, the more likely that their next quit attempt is going to be their successful quit attempt. So people often criticise media campaigns about the dangers of smoking, but we know from evidence that they increase the number of quit attempts. That's why it's so important that we keep going with those sorts of strategies.
So Maurice, what's next now?
Well, we have done well in Australia, but we've got a way to go. We need to get smoking down to as low as we can. As I mentioned, we're about 1 in 10 adult smoking, far fewer young people smoking. We've done very well with young people, but we need to drive the overall proportion of the population smoking to lower than 5%, and our goal to achieve that is by 2025. And one of the essential missing ingredients at the moment is a continuation of hard-hitting graphic TV-led campaigns, and we haven't had a national tobacco campaign since 2013, and that's the missing ingredient. So unfortunately, the current federal government hasn't funded a national tobacco campaign since 2013, despite the fact that they collect about $12 billion in tobacco excise every year, and the projection for the revenue from tobacco excise for the next financial year that we're approaching in the next month or so is $17 billion.
Wow.
So we could spend a very small proportion of that $17 billion and have a national, effective and sustained TV-led campaign. That's what's missing at the moment.
That is a huge number. That is a lot to think about there.
Well, it is a large number, and they need to do something to step up to the plate and fulfil their role as a federal government on putting further downward pressure on the prevalence of smoking.
We'll hopefully watch this space. We'll see a lot happening.
We're hoping that they'll come to the party on that one.
Thank you to all three of you, to Amy, Deshaun and Maurice, for coming on Fitter Happier today and letting us some good and some very insightful information.
Thank you.
Thank you.